Hello everyone and welcome to episode 76 of the Quick Pixit. For those of you not familiar with how Quick Pixit works, it's a snake style draft. The order goes 1, 2, 3 and 3, 2, 1. And today's episode of Quick Pixit is on the greatest Pottodio Trophy performances. And before you guys just start in the comments already, we define Pottodio Trophy as any India-England test matches in England. So, and all the time. I know technically Pottodio Trophy is 2007 onwards, but I can't be. It's just a nice name and I refuse to call it Anderson Tendulkar. So yeah. So we have two debutants on Quick Pixit, which is the first time ever. On my left, I guess, it's Saurabh Samani, and on my right, it's Shahin Ahmed Khan. So how do you guys feel?
Hello. Yeah. Hello. This is 1996, no? Ganguly and Dravid debuting together.
Exactly. But who's Dravid and who's Ganguly then?
You're from further north, so you'll have to be Ganguly.
All right.
Alright, so for the best performances, it can either be the innings or the match. It could be batting, bowling, all rounder, and if you really wanted to, you can do fielding and wicket keeping. That's completely up to you. So Shahin will be starting us off. What's your first pick, bro?
Yeah, so my first pick is Vinu Mankad at Lords in 1952. And so the reason for this pick is that in this match, he opens the batting and makes 72 and 184, and then he also takes 5 wickets in the match. And the bowling attack that he makes his runs against is Alec Bedser, Fred Truman and Jim Laker. So that is really high quality bowling from England. And these are some of the greatest bowlers that England have had. And also interestingly, if we look at the contribution that he had in terms of how many percentage of runs he scored. So he scored 72 out of 235 in the first innings. And then he makes 184 out of 378. So he did the bulk of the scoring as well. And then after that, he bowls, 97 overs in the whole match. And he takes five wickets for 196 runs in the first innings. When the team total for England was 537. So I think it's just really hard to look past that sort of a performance. Yeah.
I think he's definitely on my list.
And you know the background to that, no? He was not in the team and he was drafted in last moment. So it's not that he was not in the team because he didn't deserve to be there, but he had actually written to the BCCI asking for a guarantee to be selected in the England tour, and they did not entertain him. And then he wrote to a club called Haslingden in Lancashire and signed up with them for the whole summer. And after India lost the first test, I think in the first test, they were 0-4 or something in the second innings. And obviously, they lost the first test. And then they realized that, no, we do need Vinu Mankad. So, there were hectic negotiations between that club to release him. First, they wanted to release him for just one test. Finally, they released him for the full series. Then he came in and has this performance. So, yeah, I think that's a great number one pick.
Yeah. Did you guys also have it as number one?
I didn't really have an order.
I had it as one or two.
What about you, Arun?
Yeah, same. I think it's near the top. So, yeah. It's Saurabh's
at least
next.
Very high up. Yeah.
Yep, agreed.
Okay, so I'll go with Graham Gooch, 333 and 123 at Lords in 1990. This was the test in which Azharuddin won the toss and then put England into bat, and which might be one of the greatest historical, you know, toss blunders ever, because Gooch made 333 and I don't know, England made some mountain of runs. And after that, actually people have forgotten, but Azhar himself made a century when India batted, as did Ravi Shastri. And this is also the game in which Kapil Dev hit 4 sixes of Eddie Hemmings to avoid the follow-on. But what is forgotten is that because Kapil Dev hit those 4 sixes, it allowed Gooch to bat again and he made 123. After that 333, which is still the highest ever match aggregate, in a test, 456 runs. Nobody has beaten that yet.
Exactly.
So he made 123 and then of course England won. And I think that one and Vinu Mankad were my top two clearly. The rest is all very fluid. But yeah, so I'm going with Gooch. 1990.
Yeah, definitely. It was a fantastic knock, right? That's also Gooch again just becomes much better when he's older as well. That's kind of when he kind of starts to dominate the 90s as well as an opener, right?
Yeah. Also, Atherton gets out early in the first inning. So, it's not that there was absolutely no pressure on him or anything. So, one early wicket, but then he still kept going and then kept building partnerships. And the bowling attack was Kapil Dev, Manoj Prabhakar, Sanjeev Sharma, Ravi Shastri and Narendra Hirwani. So, I think they did have 5 bowlers. Of course, it's not the greatest bowling attack that India have had, but that's still 5 bowlers. So, we have to put that into consideration, isn't it?
Yep, completely agree. All right, so it's me now.
Two picks.
So hopefully I've gotten the background for this right. I'm going Bhagwat Chandrasekhar's 8th in I forgot which Oval. Places was
Oval 19.
Yeah, Oval. Thank you. Oval 19. It's I believe it's India's first win in England and their first series win versus England.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's from like a historic point of view, it's very important. And also, we I have to go for a bowler first. Come on.
Absolutely.
Like I had to, right?
Yeah.
Again, it's a fantastic effort. I think if you actually look back, India were actually behind after the first innings. I think they were like deficit of 70, and then he has an incredible spell in the second innings, and they bowled out for very cheaply, and then incredibly crucial. Probably just doesn't get talked about in as much as it probably should be.
I think Jared talks about him in his book because that book was about how India beat England for the first, how all the different teams beat England for the first time. So I think there are some good anecdotes there.
So, you know, I mean, a little bit, whatever, morbid in light of recent events, but that 1971 tour also, I was reading up about it, and the team was welcomed with like a cavalcade and like huge parades and all that when they came back. But of course, without any, you know, untoward incident, it went off fine. But they were, they had like a great reception. And apparently, the cinemas in India then would play those last few minutes of the victory before the movie started and to rapturous applause. So, yeah, I think at that time, it would have got a lot of mileage. But now, like Varun says, it's not talked about enough.
My second pick is Sunil Gavaskar's 221 at the Oval in the fourth innings.
That's a great pick, actually, I think.
That would have been my pick if you hadn't.
So it's if you actually look back at that game, India was set a target of 438, which is quite high. I think if I'm not wrong, they chased down like 400 plus like a few years before versus the West Indies. I think, was it 414 or 408? I think if I'm remembering
correctly. It was at Port of Spain from what I can recall. And something in the
406, I think it was.
Gavaskar makes runs in that innings as well, right?
Gavaskar and Vishwanath both hit centuries.
1976. Yeah, they chased down 403. And I mean, they make 406 runs. The target was 403. And Gavaskar, Amarnath and Vishwanath all make runs. Like Gavaskar and Vishwanath get hundreds.
So India were chasing 430 against a pretty solid England attack, right? You have both Bob Willis and Botham when both of them actually cared about cricket and didn't let himself go completely. He was a phenomenal bowler. And then Mike Hendrick was very handy. Phil Edmonds is like a decent, I guess, as a bowler. And then even Peter Willi was not bad. So it's a pretty decent attack. Like, and I'm assuming it's a flat pitch because you don't make 429 unless it's not a flat pitch. But still, I think they only came nine short when the two. Yeah, they only were just nine short in the end, which is a remarkable effort. And it's the most hilarious thing was they were 366 for one and they end up 429 for eight.
That's classic. The top India three do well
and then just capitulate. They just capitulate completely. They choked the run chase.
Yeah, I think Botham had some wickets in that collapse. They promoted Kapil Dev for quick runs, but he couldn't score.
He got a five-ball duck, so
Five-ball duck, okay.
And then Chetan Chauhan again with like a classic dead bat innings of 80 of 263 balls, which is...
Wow.
For the era, it's great. And then Venkat Sarkar, who's great in England as well, right? Yeah, so it's Saurabh again.
Okay. So... I mean, I have to go for, I think, Alastair Cook's 294 just for the monumentalness of the innings. That was Edgbaston 2011. And I think India didn't outscore him in either of their innings. I mean, overall they did, but they were, 224 all out and 244 all out. So he was just, I think, like... Basically, every embodiment of whatever you imagine Cook to be at his peak, you know, he was that. You couldn't get past him, you couldn't beat him, you couldn't get him playing false shots. And he was just there and he was just grinding out the runs one after the other.
I mean, making 294 is a big deal in itself, isn't it?
But
like, I think it's like the second highest score in the series and... India-England test matches in England.
After Gooch's 333.
After Gooch,
Also, I have both of them. So, I was looking at that test scorecard and I think it's a rare test where both Suresh Raina and Owen Morgan have played. You know, how many tests can you imagine that both of them have played and one that they've played together.
Exactly.
So, I'll go for Cooks. That is also, I think, the test where that hotspot controversy was there. You know, Dravid got nicked off his bootlaces. And even he didn't realize there was a noise and he walked off. And then the replay showed that actually the ball had nicked his lace at the end of his lace. What is it called? The aglet or something. Yeah, it had nicked that. And he thought he was out and he went. And Tendulkar was out because Dhoni drilled a straight drive back. And I think Swan got like a finger to it and Tendulkar was out of his crease. And Tendulkar and Dravid were batting then when Dravid went off. So it's a little bit of, you know, a what if where you have the India's two best batsmen batting and Dravid has been in great form. He has hit centuries in the first two tests. So if he stays there with Tendulkar, who's looking very fluent for the first time in the series, who knows what happens. But
it's Murphy's Law, isn't it? Everything that could go wrong.
Everything,
is
yeah.
That was that entire series for India, isn't it?
I think that's one of my early memories of Test cricket. So I just remember, I was like, what the hell is going on here?
How did you become a Test cricket fan, man?
Imagine getting introduced.
So my introduction to Test cricket was that series, and then I think it was 4-0 by Ocean Australia. So I was like, I quit Test cricket for a while. I was like, these guys are so shit at it. Sean, before you do your picks, let's just take a quick break.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumpa turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
All right, welcome back to the Crick Picks on the Greatest Pachauri Trophy Performances. And Sharon was just about to do his two picks.
Yeah, so I have two picks now and I think I'll go with an all-rounder and with a batter. So starting with the all-rounder, I'll go with Kapil Dev in 1982 Lords. So this was also a really great performance from him. Kapil Dev takes 5 wickets in the first innings for 125 runs. And 4 of those were top-order batters. They're top 4, by the way. And then after that, India only make 128, but Kapil Dev makes 41 of 69 out of that. And then when India follow on, Kapil Dev again makes 89 of 55. And then again in the final innings, Kapil Dev gets each of the 3 wickets. So although India lose that test match, we have to just give credit to how good Kapil Dev was as an all-rounder in that test match. And he even wins player of the match. So
that 89 was of just 55 balls, I think. Because high up on my list also, so I had researched this innings,
13 fours and 3 sixes.
Man, Kapil Dev, what a miss for the IPL.
What a miss indeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be perfect in the current Indian setup.
Like modern white ball cricket.
Yeah.
How good would it be in the current Indian team? But yeah, there's no one. That just makes me sad. Okay.
I'll go with an Indian batter next. I think we have to look at Virat Kohli and Edge Bastion in 2018, isn't it? 149 and 51. And although India lose that test match, but the level of performance that he puts in, batting with the tail in particular, and then almost making sure that India chased the target down. Of course, he doesn't get a lot of help in the whole test match. And he was a bit lucky, I think, early on in that 149. But I think that's one of his finest test knocks ever. And I think against a class bowling attack and in a low-scoring test match, a fairly low-scoring, not low-scoring, but like not a very high-scoring game either. I think he does really well too. You know, put up that performance as captain and with the backdrop of him not performing well at all back in 2014, right? So,
I mean, he overtook his entire series tally of 2014 in that one innings, right?
In that one innings, yeah.
He had 134 runs in 2014 in 5 tests and he got 149 in the first innings.
Plus, another thing, interesting thing is, it's kind of rare for modern Indian day batters to score 200 runs in Senna test matches combined both innings, right? So there's Rishabh Pant as well. we might be another pick in this very quick picks itself. So I think no more spoilers there. But I think, those are my two picks.
Yeah, definitely. I think Kohli does deserve to be on here.
We have Saurabh
right?
next.
Great innings. Saurabh, it's you. Go for
it. So I think there might be a couple of others that probably are better match level performances, but I also have a bowler bias like Varun, even though I picked Gooch and Cook first up. So I'm going to pick Zahir Khan at Trent Bridge 2007. This was the famous Jelly Beans test. While Zach was batting, some England fielders So he was batting at first and he saw a jelly bean near the crease. So he just cleared it out. But when he came back, he saw again. So then he knew that it was being put intentionally. So some of the England fielders were just like dropping jelly beans. I think they were taking a dig at his level of fitness or something. And it was particularly badly timed because actually he had just come back. 2006 was a bad year for Zach. He was out of the team. He had gone away. You know, he had a great county season and then he was in prime fitness. And 2007 to 11, actually, he was the second best fast bowler in the world. You know, only thing is Dale Steyn existed. Wow. That's why he couldn't be the best.
Yeah.
But he was the second best. And it started, I think, in a way from that particular test at Trent Bridge. And that was the test that India won to win them the series. And he took like 9 wickets, 4-4 and 5-4. I think Paul Collingwood, I was reading this, he got a little cheeky when he was asked about the incident. He said, I think he prefers the blue ones to the pink ones, which is why he got pissed off. But it didn't work out. Didn't work out so well because, like, so Zaheer actually took his bat and he walked towards Peterson, who was at gully, you know, and waved his bat. And he was like, what the hell and all that? Who do you think? I mean, obviously, there would have been a lot more colorful language, which I'm not sure we're allowed to use on this podcast. But he was incensed. And very, very interestingly, you know, Cook was fielding at short leg. But I think Cook even then was looked at as too much of a good boy. So Zach thought it's not this guy who's doing it. It's the guy at Kali. So he went to Peterson waving his bat. England thought they had their fun. But then, like, basically a fired up Zaheer Khan came, took 5 wickets and bowled India to victory. He was the man of the match also. So, yeah.
Did he get 9 in total?
He got nine.
I also had this performance. Like, I haven't really decided an order as such for these picks, but this was also on my list of great performances in these India England matches.
Yeah, I just think like the backstory and the jelly beans and all that makes it a little elevates it a little.
Makes it even better.
That's the only test they win in that series, right?
Yeah, that's the only test
they win the series. Yeah.
Then they win the series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, you could argue I might be going a bit too early with this one. I don't know if you guys have this performance. It's an English player. I'm going Bairstow's twin turns at Edgbaston.
Oh yeah, I had this. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it's completely deserves to be on this list. Like because England was so far behind in the first innings. And Bairstow wasn't 13 of 60 and then Kohli sledges him and then he just turns turbo. I was looking at
that. That was also like he goes from 13
of definitely. He goes from 13 of 60 in the next 60 balls and he goes to 100 of 119, right? So he just absolutely goes ballistic in that innings. He kept England in the hunt and then they were chasing 378 and he gets another 100 along with Root. It's a phenomenal performance and they draw the series in the end, right? And when all of us thought that would be the first time India win in England since 2007.
I mean, it was all set up perfectly, no? Jasprit Bumrah's first test as captain, him winning the series for India. Like, yeah, just on that, those grounds alone, I didn't pick Bairstow, but he deserves to be there.
Yeah.
And then I'm going Ishan Sharma 7 for at Lords.
Yeah. Someone had to pick this.
That was in my list too, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those, like, this is Ishan's performance is one of those where you remember it being much better than it was. I went and saw the highlights. It was so much filth from both teams in that innings where you're like, he was just such shit cricket. It felt like basketball cricket in a way when you look back. He was just banging it in short and they just kept hitting it to the fielders, right? Like, exactly, you have to give him credit for, I think it was second win at Lords for India, right? At that point.
Yeah.
You know, he was forced into that bowling short plan, no, by Dhoni.
Yeah.
Like Dhoni basically turned his back on him. He set a short leg, he set a leg gully, he set two men out in the deep, and he was like, too short, he dull.
I remember that because that was also the time when people thought England had a short ball weakness, so they played into it.
I think I realized that maybe Moeen Ali and Stuart Broad had a short ball weakness because of that spell. That was what, you know, solidified it that, these guys, maybe they can't handle the short ball that well.
I think I love that performance. I was going to go for another Indian bowler at Lords, but I thought, fair, let's just go with this one for now. Sorry, it's you.
Oh, it's me. Okay, so, I think I'll have to go with another all-round performance. I think Stuart Broad at Trent Bridge 2011.
Yeah, I also had this.
This performance came when the series was still being closely fought. Eventually it was 4-0, of course. But this was in the second test. And England had been bowled out for what, some 200 odd, 221. Yeah. And India were 267 for four, and then Broad comes on and they're 288 all out. And yeah. I think he had a spell that was five overs, five for five at that point. And and in the first innings, he had hit a 64 also.
Exactly. And he comes in when they're 124 for eight. So it's like India are on top of this test match, and then Broad just takes it away from them. And then he again puts salt on the wounds and makes 44.
In both first innings, actually, like, you know, a little bit it goes the other way. England are 140 a lot, and India end up making 370. And then the whole test is different. And because of Broad, it is 221 playing 288. And he makes another 44 in that. So this is, I think, the test where the whole famous Ian Bell run out happened, where I think India messed up. They should have just not withdrawn the appeal. But he was out, man. He was dozy about it. He was out.
We also know the English would have just whined about it, man.
Made it more interesting. Yeah.
No, they would have. But it's just one. I feel like Dhoni being the guy, he was like, I just can't be asked to deal with this nonsense. Exactly, the rest of the series. Like, knowing the guy Dhoni was. Like, we saw with the Alex Carey thing, they're like, it's just so long when the English just, like, with the hypocritical nonsense. So, yeah.
Yeah, but then, yeah, and in the second innings also, I think he got Dravid out, who had, you know, hit a century.
Yeah, Broad gets a hat-trick in the first innings, actually.
I think that hat-trick was also one of those wickets was an inside edge given LBW, if I remember right. But anyway, yeah, it goes down as a hat-trick, so he gets that.
And I was also just saying that he makes 44 of 32 in the second innings for England.
Yeah. No, that was proper rubbing salt into the wounds, you know, after Bell has made his runs and everything, and England are making 500 and this fellow comes.
Yeah. Actually, I wonder if we've gone a bit too low with this performance, because, like, this actually changes the game quite a bit, right?
I think it changes the series, for sure. Yeah, the hilarious thing about England's second innings is Peterson is probably the slowest batter, one of the slowest batters. So, yeah.
Wow. How many does he make?
He makes 63 of 120, and then Morgan is 70 of 88. Pryor is 73 of 60. Bresnan is 90 of 118.
Yeah, Bresnan also makes sense.
Bell is 159 of 206. It's crazy stuff. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cheyenne's two picks now. Two picks, actually.
Yep, exactly. I think I'll again go with preference for an all-round performance. And I'm going with Bhuvi at Lords in 2014.
Okay, yeah.
So, just to give some more context, Bhuvi makes 36 of 84 in the first innings. And then he comes back and takes 6 wickets in the next innings as England take a small lead. But Bhuvneshwar Kumar takes 6 for 82 in that. And then Bhuvi again makes 52 in the next innings. And then, of course, the last innings was all Ishan Sharma. But Bhuvi also does really well in terms of economy rate, giving 21 runs in 16 overs. So, I think this is a performance that also plays a really important part in that test match win. Probably a better all-round performance than Ishant, although Ishant perhaps has the better innings performance. But I think this is one performance that we still have to really, really rate highly at a personal level. And at this point, we've not yet picked any of the legends. So, like, not any of the legends, but we've not picked some really legendary players. So, should we go with a player of that caliber?
I think
I'll go with the Sachin Tendulkar performance. His 122 at Nottingham in 1996. Sorry, at Edgbaston in 1996. Yeah. And India only make 217 in that innings, I believe.
But yeah, I Sachin think they made very less. He was basically batting on a different pitch. Like, yeah.
Exactly. That's, I think, one of his most famous innings also in England, isn't it? So, he makes 122. England have a 99 run lead, but in this innings, it's only Sachin Tendulkar who turns up. Everybody, like, the whole team makes 219 combined. No batter makes 20 runs. I think simply for this level of carry job, and even though India don't, and let's say India, he gets some support. Who knows if India go ahead and do something in this test match, probably even win it. So I think I would probably still rate a performance like this higher than just the sheer volume of runs made by a batter. So I'm going to go with this.
Yeah, totally on board with that one. When he made that innings, he was still young in his career, but it was talked of as almost Perth's level, that Perth 114 that he had made.
Yeah, I think so, it's one of his famous innings, like I said, in the 90s. Yeah. It's Perth and this innings.
He has so many iconic centuries in the 90s.
Even in South Africa, like Cape Town.
It's why the nostalgia merchants annoy me when they use 2000s of Sachin as an example. I'm like, you idiots, just use 90s Sachin as an example, right?
true.
And that's Cheyenne's quota's done. And before the Saurabh Bixas does his pick, well, let's just take a quick ad break.
As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year. And I loved every part of it, except for one. This little evil pin here. Because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies. But even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, all one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Sally app and use the code GOODAREAS, all one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Sally.
Welcome back to Crick Picks, and we are doing the greatest Potato Trophy performances.
I got someone who wants to make a YouTube debut, so she'll say hi and go away.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. So Saurabh's final pick.
My final pick, huh? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then I'll be a bit biased and go with Anil Kumble's only century in test cricket.
Yeah.
Just for the sheer fun of it, man. It was like just incredible to see. It was the only century hit in that whole series. And it came from Anil Kumble. By an Indian. And it came from Anil Kumble in a series that India win in England. It's still their last series win in England. And the way he got to his century was, I think he got a bottom edge that went through Matt Prior's legs and to the boundary. He was on 97 or something. So he charges down, he gets a bottom edge. And then because he has got a bottom edge, he's scrambling back to dive into the crease to avoid being stumped. And then he realizes it's gone for four. And I think the entire Indian dressing room staff, everyone was out on the balcony applauding and with huge smiles on their faces just because Anil Kumble had got a test century after a long time. And he had come close, I remember, in, he had made 88 against South Africa at Eden Gardens in 96. And that is one of my actually earliest memories of test cricket, watching that innings. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I have not gone back to check because I don't want to get fact checked on this. But I think he was given run out when he was actually ill, Kumble. And I remember feeling robbed that, man, he has 88, he should get a century. So finally, because he got that century in 2007, I just for that nostalgia, this, that and all, I'm picking Anil Kumble's century as my final.
He also takes 5 wickets in the match along with this century. So I think
he does, in the first and second.
Yeah,
but it's like it gives you a bit of a weird kick to pick an Anil Kumble batting performance, So I've not mentioned
this. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I think we have the last pick now.
Mm. All right, so I think for the last pick, I'm just a bit split because I really just want to go for the other bowler makes 100 thing, but I think you can't. Like, I just realized we don't have Anderson on this list.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
I'm just going to go Jimmy Anderson at Lords in 2018. He takes 9 for 43, I think, in the match.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone remembers it for Chris Folkes' like all-round performance, but like Anderson just destroys India.
Yeah, he takes 5 wickets in the first innings itself. So I think that really sets the tone for
And then
that
4
match.
In the second, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he gets like top-order wickets in both the innings. Like, not all of them, but like a few, 2-3 wickets, top-order wickets. So I think we have to put that into consideration as well.
That was just a billion. Which the whole first day was rained out and India still picked Kuldeep instead of an extra seamer.
I love Virat's captain. Strange selection at times.
Yeah, yeah.
Extremely strange.
Like, that was really strange. Absolutely.
So we are done now.
So that's the end of the 15. Mm-hmm. Okay, so before I read them out, I read them out, like, let's just... Like, what are some of the performances you think we missed? I think the obvious one is Ganguly at Lords, right? The people would be really upset by that.
Yeah. I mean, that one is obviously, like, you know, remembered a lot and all. I think some of the you know, really old ones also we have missed. Like, I was just looking through the stats. Like, Fred Truman has an 8 for, which is still the best.
Exactly, 8 for 31.
I had that on my list as well.
Alec Bedser has 11 wickets twice. One of them.
Yeah.
We probably should have picked.
There's Moeen Ali in 2018, Southampton.
That had him.
I was really considering that. I ended up going with preference for all-round picks more often than not, and like outlier batting performances.
I had Sam Curran in Edgbaston.
Yeah, that was another one. I also definitely considered that one. And interestingly, I didn't end up picking any English player for some reason. Like, you know, intentional, of course.
Rahul Dravid and Headingley 2002, you know? I was torn between that and Kumble, but I just went with more vibes for Kumble.
There's also Dravid in 2011, Oval. 146 not out of 300. Yeah. He carries his bat. So, and he opens the innings in that match. So I think that was another great performance that...
I'm just glad Cheyenne picked Sachin. So we had someone from the great batting lineup.
Yeah. And I think if we are going with recency bias, I think Rishabh Pant's Edgbaston 2022, where he makes 146 at a strike rate of 131, by the way, and 57. But I think for that match, we have to give preference to Bairstow over all the other players simply because of what...
I had Siraj at Lords as well.
Yeah, even I had Siraj at Lords. That was also a really good performance. Bumrah Trentbridge in 2021. And I think this is one thing that I have to mention with players like Bumrah and Sachin, or probably even Dravid to some extent, that they are so good consistently that maybe you don't find extreme level outlier performances from them as often, but they're really, really good all the way through. So if you're doing like an all-time 11 or like best players overall, then I think these players would be really high up that list.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, completely agree with you.
So no fan is going to come and abuse me now.
Yeah. No, you picked Sachin, so you're spared, I think.
We have Gavaskar's 221, no? So that's fine.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, because we didn't have Dravid or Bumrah for like in this. So I think I've just put my disclaimer here.
I didn't really have a lot of the old England performances simply because India was so shit. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Like, I don't care. It's like, it would be a bit like if India played like Zimbabwe now and then did well. I'm like, I'm not really going to rate those performances highly, right? Like, so that's why I had the other way around. So well, you could have had like older Indian batsers. Like, I think Mansoor Ali Khan Pathodi has a good 100 versus England.
Yeah.
Things like that, right? Yeah.
I considered including Mansoor Ali Khan Pathodi's innings just because we have decided that, you know, Pathodi Trophy is a cooler name than the Grandison Trophy.
That's true. Probably
we need
should
to have that in this list, but yeah.
It's a bit shame that Pathodi doesn't make it to the Pathodi Trophy list. So just to read out the individual picks.
Tendulkar and Anderson should have a trophy named after themselves, but they took a name that was already cool and turned that into...
Yeah, agree. No, if you're being honest, Tendulkar should have a stadium named after him and not just flipping in. But like, let's not get into structural issues with BCCI in India written in this podcast. Like, I'll be here all day. So yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so reading the individual picks. So Cheyenne has Vinu Mankad at Lords in 1952. Kapil Dev at Lords in 1982. Virat Kohli, Edgbaston 2018, Bhuvneshwar Kumar at Lords in 2014, and finally Sachin Tendulkar at Edgbaston 1996. So a solid roster there. So Saurabh had Graham Gooch at Lords in 1990, I think. So Alistair Cook at Edgbaston 2011, Zahir Khan at Trentbridge in 2007, Stuart Broad at Trentbridge in 2011, and Anil Kumble at the Oval in 2007. I've had Bhagwat Chandrasekhar's Oval performance at 1971, Sunil Gavaskar's Oval performance at 1979, Bairstow's Edgbaston in 2022, Ishan Sharma's Lords performance in 2014, and finally Jimmy Anderson, Lords 2018.
Yeah. Decent list.
Yeah.
I think we have 5 English players and 10 Indian players, which sort of makes sense as well, given you give preference to the touring team more often than not.
And historically India were worse than England, right? I think.
Yeah, so I think that's a good split to have, like 5 English players and 10 Indian players.
I think that makes sense. And that's the end of Crick Picks. So tell us why we are whole idiots for getting everything wrong, and what would be your best performances that we might have missed, that you might have rated higher. And make sure to subscribe to goodareas.co, bookmark it. And thank you so much for watching. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, So support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.